So just to bring you up to speed for those who are not necessarily on the journey with us at the moment, we're doing a series called This Is Us, and it basically a talk about our values as a church. Last week we talked about the importance of prayer, and today I'm going to talk to you about the importance of the value of a story. And so we have three things that are our values as a church: prayer, story, and justice. And today I'm going to talk about story. So welcome. So this is us. So just put up that first slide. As I said, Psalm 107, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Such a powerful thought is that you were created by God to tell the story of what God has done in your life. That's part of the reason you exist, is that when we tell his story, that's how we share Christ. That's how God gets the glory through us, through our lives. That's how he gets the glory. And when we share our story of what he has done, of transformation, that's when we actually find ourselves placed in his story. So when we talk about story, we're not just talking about our own story. We're actually talking about how our story falls into God's story and how we find ourselves in that place. I just read this quote from Tim Keller, which is on the next slide. It says, "The Bible is not just a book of rules or a manual for living. It is a story. It is a story of what God has done to rescue us through Jesus Christ." Now, this is the story we find ourselves, the story of the Bible. And stories shape us. They remind us of where we've been. They reveal who we are and point us to where we are going. And when we encounter the gospel and we encounter Christ, our stories are redeemed and they're woven into God's narrative, our bigger story. And I just want to talk a little bit about today. And story is just kind of, you know, it winds itself. Everywhere you go in the Bible is a story. You go right back to the start. And the Bible is a biblical pattern of story. And we find ourselves in God's love. We see in creation at the beginning of the story that in Genesis 1, that God created us in his image, giving us dominion over creation. And creation was very good, and he intended us to live in harmony with him. Yet sin entered the world. In Genesis, Adam and Eve rebelled, choosing their own way over God's way, and humanity's story became broken. But God's plan for redemption was already unfolding. And then we have the turning point, if you like, the cross. In Romans 5, we read, "But God demonstrates his own love for us while we were still sinners," while we decided to go our own way. I mean, I love the story of Genesis in simple terms. God creates everything amazing and beautiful. We get to enjoy it. We go into it. And this is just humanity, right? We think better. We know better. We think we know how things work, that we could create our own way, make our own decisions. And God has to come back and redeem us and restore us from ourselves, from our pride, from our belief that we know best. And the cross does that. At the cross, Jesus took our broken stories, our mistakes, our bad decisions, and gave us an opportunity to enter his story. And it's not just forgiveness that he gives us and go, "Yeah, I understand. I understand that you're, you know, you do your own thing and you think you know better." So he offers us that, but he also offers us the power of a new life in him. So it's not just like, "Oh, you know, you're forgiven." It's like, no, let's actually get back and build this story together. This story of new life. And I love the fact. And then we see in heaven, the heaven story. So we have creation, the cross, and then we have heaven, which is he will wipe away every tear. We read in Revelation 21, and there'll be no more death or mourning or crying, for the old order of things are passed away. This is our ultimate destination, a restored relationship with him. And I love how God intervenes our story. You know, I just love talking to people about their story. I don't know about you, but it's always a way that we interact with people. Tell me a story. How did you? I was at a funeral this week, and a lady told me she used to live at Ingadine, and she said she moved to Junee. And I'm like, please tell me the story. Like, if anyone knows Junee, like, has anyone been to Junee? Like, Junee is not a holiday destination. It's not a retirement destination. It's in the. It is literally in the sticks. There's about 5,000 people there. There's no Westfield. There's no McDonald's. There's no KFC. There's no coffee shops, really, I don't think. There's no beach. I don't think there's even a river that goes through there, is there? Brad, you travel. There's nothing there. So I'm like, tell me the story. And she's just like, you know, because I love stories. I love hearing the reason. And it tells us about people. It tells us what their motivations are, what's going on. I've heard a lot of broken stories too. I sit down with people every week. They come into our space at Genali, or we talk to people who have come through our housing project or even people in this church in brokenness, and I hear their story. But at the end of that story, I'm always thinking to myself, what if Jesus got involved? What if Jesus got involved in this pain, in this addiction, in this brokenness? What if Jesus got involved? What would it look like? What would a redeemed story look? And I start get excited because I don't see people for where they are. I see them where they could be as they enter the grand story of what Jesus has for them. And that is our story. You were lost. You were broken. And now you're found. Maybe some of you, you're still lost and you still don't know. And we're all in that place where we thought we knew better and we thought to run our own life, and we worked out we didn't do a very good job. And so we gave our lives to Christ and said, I'm yours. And we allowed him and we entered into his story. And that this is the power. This is the redemption story. This is why we love us as a church. We don't just want to hear stories. We want to hear the redemptive story and the power of what Jesus has done in our life. We see the woman at the well, Jesus in John 4, a woman who had a broken story, 5 failed marriages, an outcast to the community. But Jesus met her. He didn't condemn her story. Instead, he invited her into his story, offering living water and true identity. It's kind of like this ultimate sense of brokenness and going, it's okay, because when I get involved, things change. Things change. For some of us have been Christians for a long time, we've forgotten what change looks like. But I can tell you that Jesus is still in the business of transforming people's lives. He's still in the business of interrupting our brokenness and bringing us healing and redemption. Most of us has experienced this. We see the prodigal son in Luke 15, a son who squanders inheritance and finds himself lost and destitute. When he returns home, expecting condemnation, he's met with grace and restoration by his father. And this is our story. When we return to God, he embraces us and restores us regardless of our failures. You know, Jesus is into righteousness, right? So when you meet him, he doesn't necessarily bring up what's wrong. He brings up what's right. He knows what's wrong. He doesn't have to reinforce it and tell you how bad you are and what's wrong with you. You tell you that every day. He wants to come in and tell you what's right. What a right life, what a righteous life looks like, what a life with him looks like. And that is the redeemed life. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And this is what we have. And I love this. And this is the story we get in Psalm 107. I just want to go through this quickly this morning. But there is a pattern in this psalm. And I've got it up on the screen there. The cycle of redemption we see in Psalm 7. We have this crisis where people find themselves lost, wandering and in trouble. And then we have a cry here in desperation. They cry out to God and God rescues them. He responds and saves and restores them. And then they praise him. The redeemed thank God for his unfailing love and his mighty deeds. That's not just their story. That's my story. That's your story. That's our story, right? That's the story of creation. That's the story. We're in a crisis. That's the story of your friend or your right now. They're in that place. Or your family, or your workmate, or your school friend, or uni friend, whatever it is, you can see it right now. They're in the crisis and they're going to get to a point where they cry out to God, where they come to the end of themselves and they realize, you know what, I've got no other option but God. And then God comes and rescues them through the cross and saves them and restores them. And then they find themselves on their knees thanking him for what he's done. And this is the story over and over again. So let's just read through this in Psalm. And it's broken up in a few different ways. So if you just go to the next slide, I'm just going to read it through to you. We've got the wanderers from verse 4 to verse 9. It says, some wandered in the desert wasteland, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty and their lives ebbed away. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he delivered them from their distress. When you read this, I want to think, I want some amens. I'm like, this is good stuff. This is what God does. This is the story, right? This is good news. This is good news. They cried out in their trouble and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to the city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds to mankind. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. So good. We've all been wanderers at some point. People who are lost in the wilderness, hungry and thirsty with no place to call home. And we cried out to God in our trouble and he rescued us and he led us to a place where we could settle down and he redeemed us. And we see in the next passage from 10 to verse, we have the prisoners that are in darkness. Go to the next slide. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised most the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help, but they cried out in their trouble and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the other darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down the gates of bronze and cuts through the bars of iron. We know people, and us, we have been in this place, like Israel, as we hear in this story. People sit in darkness. They're imprisoned by their rebellion against God. And they cried out to God, and he rescued them. And he redeemed them. And he does it over and over again. He keeps doing it, and he will keep doing it. And then we have the afflicted from verse 17 to 22. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with joys of song, songs of joy. This is us. This is our story. We suffer because of our sinful ways and our rebellion. We go our own way, do our own thing. We draw near. We come to the point where we feel like we're experiencing death itself. We cry out to God in our trouble and he rescues us. He sends a word of healing. He sends Nan along, lays her hands on us, and redemption, we experience redemption. God heals us, our brokenness, brings us wholeness, restores us. And then in the final part of this passage, we see the storm-tossed sailors. Some went out in the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep, for he spoke and stirred up the tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wit's end. I don't know about, has anyone been there? Probably a few times. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he brought them out of distress. He stilled the storm to the whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. Who loves peace? Who's glad when it grows calm? And he guided them in their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of elders. We've all been sailors, we've been in storms, overwhelmed by chaos in our life. Some of us are maybe even there now. We need to cry out to God and allow him to still the storm and guide us to safety. From chaos to calm. And God brings peace and order. So this is our story of redemption. We were like wanderers, we've been spiritual lost, and God brought us back. I just want to encourage you today. If you know a wanderer, know that God will bring them home. We're like prisoners. We're enslaved by our sin at times, our bad mistakes, our, if you like, the moments we miss the mark, as sin, as we know sin means. And Jesus is here to set us free. Like the afflicted, we've been broken, but we've found healing in God. Like the sailors, we've faced storms, but we've experienced His peace and His guidance. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Louis Giglio says this, I got up on the screen. When we tell our stories of what God has done in our lives, we glorify Him and give others permission to hope. Let's not withhold our story. Wherever we are on the story, let's not withhold our story. Whether we're in the crisis, or whether in the cry, or we're in the rescue phase, or we're in the praise phase, let's not withhold our story. Someone needs to hear it. They need to be encouraged. They need to know they're not alone. Something about sharing our stories that makes sense to me. Because stories build love. They build empathy. They build understanding. I don't know about you, but when someone stopped for a moment to hear your story, it matters. There's a sense of connection there that happens just from being heard. Imagine you were to stop not only to share your story and experience that connection when someone hears your story and they experience hope, but the opportunity that we have to sit down and hear other people's story, no matter where they are, whether they're in the desperation of the cry or we're in the victory of the redemption. Everything we have is because of Him. I love what Acts 17:28 says, in Him we live and move and have our being. Our whole story is wrapped up in His story. The cross, the creation, the cross, heaven, show us that everything God has done, the entire story is for us. Everything He's done is for us. And in response, we now live for Him. So I just want to encourage you. What is your story? What's your story? Yeah. What's your story? And how has God rewritten it? And how can you share your story to bring Him glory? And who in your life needs to hear the hope of Jesus story today? Who do you need to share your story with? It's going to happen this week, I guarantee you, because you know what happens. You know, we preach and opportunities arise. Don't you know that how it works? Things will come up. And I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready that the redeemed of the Lord would tell their story and that we would breathe hope. That's why it's so important as a value of our church that we understand God's story and we understand our story and we understand how He has interrupted our lives with His redemption. And we get an opportunity to share that and give Him glory. Let's pray. I invite the band up if they're still around. Anyone who wants to play, get up. Let's all stand. Let me pray for you. You should hear Nan's story one day. What an amazing story. Phenomenal. I feel so encouraged. Yeah, you better line up. Yeah, have to write a book. Imagine that. I say that for everyone here, actually. Love to hear your story. How God just came into your life and totally screwed up your plans. Your own plans. Jesus, we want to welcome you to continue to interrupt our lives. The best story in the world is the story of redemption, story of salvation, the story of righteousness when things are right and they're made whole. And you invite us into that, and you've been doing it from the beginning of time. And we see it over and over again. And we just want to take a moment now just to thank you. We just want to say thanks, God. Thanks for being in our life. And I pray for those today that maybe, Jesus, you're not part of someone's life and they know they need you. And I pray, Lord, that they would cry out to you and that you would meet them and that you would redeem them. So I pray, Lord, for opportunities to open doors this week, Lord. Pray, Lord, that we'd have an opportunity to listen to other people's story and take time to do that, and that we would have an opportunity to share even part of our story that would be a blessing to others. That we would listen and that we would be heard, and that we would do that for others. In Jesus' name.